William Hill Racing Radio is here to give you an edge on the rest. With every single UK race previewed by our team of experts and live commentaries from the course, sit back, listen, and let us take you through the day's racing. William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Well, it's 20 years to the day since Frankie Dettori shook the bookmaking world after riding an unprecedented seven-timer on the card at Ascot on the 28th of September 1996. The enigmatic Italian had the bookies running for the hills after saddling every winner on the card for an accumulator which paid more than 25,000 to one. William Hill alone were hit for £8 million on that fateful day, but punters were left delighted after multiple bets up and down the country clicked to scoop the backers a huge pot of cash. Joining me to look back on that day now is Graham Sharp of William Hill. Firstly, a warm welcome to you, Graham.
How are you doing, Sam?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I've just about recovered from it 20 years ago now, although it's turned my hair permanently grey.
Good stuff. And a man who will remember that day a little bit more fondly, Darren Yates, a William Hill punter who netted over £500,000 on that day, courtesy of Frankie's Magnificent Seven. How are you, Darren?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, all good.
Good, yeah. No doubt, as I said there, you'll have better memories of the day than the layers here at William Hill will.
Yeah, I certainly think I'd have better memories than William Hill did, have I?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. No doubt you've regaled many with the tale of the events on that day. Do you still remember them as clearly 20 years on, Darren?
Yeah, I don't think it's something you'll ever forget, really.
Yeah, indeed. I was keen to ask, Darren, had you been following Frankie for a while and backing his rides in multiples for a bit, or had the idea just taken you that very morning?
The actual, and you probably hear it here first, actually, because everybody drills it into me as Frankie, and yeah, I did follow Frankie, but the actual story was really, I'd been following the Godolphin horses, because obviously they winter away, and they were always in front of ours, and when I looked on the day, I think four or five of them were Godolphin. Frankie was on those, noticed he had some other rides, so I put all seven together. That is the actual real reason.
Okay. The each way accumulator, obviously, from the stories I've read, was almost an afterthought, Darren. The main bet was in multiples of another variety, and then put the each way accumulator on as a little bit of a Brucey bonus on the bottom. Turned out to be one of the biggest decisions of your life.
Yeah, I did a 50p super Heinz, and then as I was walking out of the bookies, I thought I'll just do a pound each way accumulator. And at the end of the day, when I was watching the last race in the bookies, and I showed the woman the slip, she said, "Yeah, you've won £300,000." And I said, "Bloody hell, that's unbelievable." I said, "Does that include the pound each way accumulator?" Well, she nearly fainted, because just that £2 made a difference of £250,000 to the bet.
Wow. Really is incredible. Graham, it goes down as one of, if not the worst day in bookmaking history. William Hill alone taken for £8 million, but it was losses of £40 million across the industry. Describe what it was like for you watching Frankie Bootone and those seven winners. Did you watch it from a layer's perspective?
Well, to paraphrase Charles Dickens, it was the worst of days and it was the best of days.
Yes.
Subsequently, it proved to be the greatest shop window that the sport had had for many, many a long year. And so from that point of view, it was fantastic. In terms of the day itself, it was memorable for me because I was at Kenilworth Road as Luton Town beat Blackpool 1-0 that day, which was a pretty rare event in itself at the time. And because I wasn't the racing PR, but every afternoon on a Saturday, we would talk together and say, what's the story this afternoon? And I phoned the office. And they said, Frankie Dettori is on his way to riding seven winners this afternoon. And I said, yeah, there's a pink elephant just walking across the M1 on my way home. And sure enough, of course, it happened. And as Darren has highlighted there, the crucial thing about the day was that although the SP accumulator was about 25,000 to one, the early bird accumulator was rather more than that. In fact, you couldn't have an early bird with all seven in because one of the races, Lock Angel's race, there were no early bird prices that day. But the other six came up to 100,000 odd to one. And then if you bunged in Lock Angel at the SP of 5 to 4, you were looking at almost £250,000 to one for your accumulator. So the difference there between how the bookmakers with the betting shops were affected and how the on-course bookmakers were affected was substantial because, of course, the on-course bookies didn't have to face the run-up money that the off-course bookmakers did. And that's why it was such a disastrous financially for the betting shops. And although it was bad enough for the on-course bookies, they lived to fight another day.
Blimey. Just, I know you weren't in the office that day, Graham, but at what stage during the day did the bookies begin to take cover on these Frankie rides? Obviously, we saw the last leg was trimmed in from 12 to 1 in the morning, ended up going off at 2 to 1. Was there, was there
we
a turning point?
We were 11 to 1, actually.
11, right.
We tried to tweak Yama a bit more than some bookmakers.
Yeah.
We were 11 to 1, and of course, he'd won the same race the year before.
Yes.
But, no, I don't. You know, Frankie was popular at that point. And so you were always aware that if he had a good day, we were likely to have a bad day. But until I think the first three or four went in, nobody seriously contemplated him going through the card. And of course, ultimately, when it came down to that last race, which amazingly enough, our chief executive of the time, John Brown, had a horse running in the last race against Fujiyama Crest. And I later asked John what were his riding instructions to his jockey. And he said, get as close to Frankie as you can and put him over the rail if possible. Obviously, he never managed to get anywhere near him to do that. And, of course, that was really, I think, the mark of Frankie's genius. That in that last race, he obviously knew that the eyes of the sporting and racing world were on him and also on the other jockeys. And I think that's why he went off and took his horse out in front and was never headed. He said to the others, come and take me on it if you dare. Come and be the one that stops history happening. And in the end, it was Pat Edery who got closest to him in second place. And Pat, of course, had something to want to beat Frankie for, because prior to that, Pat himself had ridden seven winners in one afternoon, albeit at two separate meetings. And therefore, he was a sort of joint holder of the record for ever having seven winners. So he didn't particularly want Frankie to come up and be able to equal his record. And certainly, he was trying for his life.
Yeah, indeed. He remains to this day very good from the front, Frankie Dettori. It's interesting you mentioned that that final leg there, of course, Fujiyama Crest, the winner for Frankie. But Darren, you must have been seriously worried about Northern Fleet, not just before the race, but actually during the race. It looked for all the world in the final furlong or so that Pat Edery was gonna reel Frankie in, but continued to find. At what point did you believe?
I was watching the race and I knew at six I'd won 25 grand, whatever happened.
Right.
And I hadn't got any clue what it would be. And I just remember watching the race because it's the only one I actually watched in the bookies because I'd been playing football in the afternoon. And during the race, I was watching it and I just felt a bit numb. And then coming into the last furlong, I never ever believed he was going to win. I sort of, as a punter, you never let yourself dream, really. You're always on the negative side thinking, well, it won't happen. I've got 25 grand and that's all really you let yourself think. And then as they went past the line, it was almost, it's a bit surreal, really. I just remember thinking, hell, that's a lot of money. Not having any clue what it was. And I think probably the best phone call I got was from Graham Sharp, because when the day had died down a bit, I went home. I had to give the bookies my number. And I got a phone call off Graham. He said, look, you've won 558 grand. Our limit is 500. But we want to send a car for you and your missus. We want to take you to a big hotel. We want you to come on TV, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Do all this. Now, if you do that for us, we'll give you the extra 58 grand. I said, just let me think about that a minute.
Bit of a no-brainer.
And I have to say, you know, Hills were great with me and they've been good all the time. They always lay a decent bet and, you know, I've found them a great bookies always, really.
Superb stuff. Your win has obviously become legendary in the stuff of bookmaking folklore. How has the media attention and, of course, the money changed your life since 1996? I'm hoping that the last 20 years have been good to you, Darren.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I had a building firm at the time that was struggling. But what actually happened was it sort of advanced everything by I'd just bought a plot of land. I didn't know how I was going to afford, really, to build it. And it just brought everything a lot quicker forward that I was able to do. I got into more property. It's enabled me to buy racehorses. It's not like a lottery win, but 20 years ago, if you were clever with your money, 500,000 was, you know, you should really, unless you're a lollipop, you should be able to make your life from it, really.
Excellent stuff. And are you still having a punt now? Are you still following Frankie in?
I've got a few racehorses. The Saturday before last, my horse won at Wolverhampton and we backed him from 16s to 4s. So, that, you know, I still like a good bet, yeah.
Oh, brilliant stuff. And Graham, from a bookmaking perspective, have we seen a rise in these kind of bets since Darren's famous win? Have we seen plenty of jockeys who have got rides in every race on the card being permed together?
Well, yes. And I mean, actually, the day after Frankie rode the seven, he was riding at Ascot again, and we saw an influx of money for him that day. He only rode one winner at 13-2, I think, on the day, but you still made a profit because there were only six races, I think. But yeah, we saw it specifically and particularly with AP McCoy, of course. And fortunately for us, AP, usually when he had a big day, the odds seemed to be a little bit shorter than they were on Frankie day. But yeah, when he had a good day, we had a bad one. And it did highlight to people the difference a great jockey can make on a horse. And I think that was the key element to come out of it. But also, I think it taught a lot of on-course bookmakers, in particular Gary Wiltshire, who, if you remember, did about, I think, 400 grand on the day at Ascot, and he hadn't even intended to be going there. I think he got up in the morning and he was going to Wincanton, but he changed his mind because he thought the Ascot card looked a bit difficult to sort out. And he told me, I wrote a book about this eventually, about the day, and he told me that that evening when he got home and was a bit shell-shocked, he decided he'd better start trying to win his money back. So he went to the dogs that evening in London, and the first bet he took was 50p for a dog in trap three, I think, and he said, it's a long way back from the 50p to 400 grand I've got to get back. So it was certainly a lesson. But as he said as well, it was a day when every bookmaker thought all their dreams had come in, because in that last race, as you said earlier on, Fujiyama Crest was 11-12-1 in the morning. Here, the bookmakers were being absolutely deluged with people wanting to back it at 11-10, 9-8-7, down to 2-1. You know, they couldn't not take that money, and it went against them. But I think all of them would say if the same thing happened again, they'd have to do the same thing again, and you could see this happening sometime in the future. And still, it's a tribute to him that the only person that's likely to make it happen again is still Frankie.
I think the one thing about Frankie is, and I think Graham would agree, I think he has totally and utterly stood the test of time better than other jockey. I'm not on about all the PR work and how great he is for racing. I mean, quite simply, as a jockey, I think he was probably the best then. And without being, you know, I'm a punter, so I watch every jockey every day, I still think he is the best. I mean, he just seems to get a horse to run without getting stuck into it, without having to hit it. He's the one that always seems at one with the horse. And when you watch him in a finish, sort of never seen anybody get as low behind the horse's head. I just think it's remarkable how good he is still. I don't know if Graham agrees with that.
I agree with it, absolutely. He's stayed at the top for 20 years. He had a little bad spell a few years ago, didn't he? But he's reinvented himself in the last couple of years. And to see him ride at Ascot, you know, I often go to Ascot, and when Frankie's riding, you know your horse is a couple of points better than it would be with any other jockey on it, and he knows the track inside out. And I think we'll probably see that sort of artistry at the weekend when he goes over and rides at Chantilly. He's still a jockey that all other jockeys in whatever country they are, they fear, and if he's motivated, he can be almost unbeatable. On that day, the 28th September 1996, he was motivated as never before and completely unbeatable.
Yeah, he certainly was. Typified with a very Frankie-esque ride from the front as well on Fujiyama Crest. We've seen that plenty since, and I'm sure we'll see it plenty of times again. Just before I let you chaps go, have you got any fancies for Shanty at the weekend? Obviously, we're not entirely sure whether Frankie's going to have a ride in a big one yet after Fascinating Rock was ruled out this morning. Anything you like at Shanty, chaps?
Not at Shanty, but I like the Melbourne Cup. I'm going to back Idaho.
Okay.
I've already had a few quid each way on that. So that's for me.
Okay, excellent. And Graham, I suppose you'll be hoping these short price favourites can get beat from a layer's perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to have a watching brief, you know, at Chantilly, because of course normally these races take place at Longchamp, and you pretty much get to know what sort of horse suits Longchamp, and you know which ones are prime for it. But I think we might see a few shock results at Chantilly this weekend, hopefully from a bookmaking point of view, because of course, you know, a lot of particularly the foreign raiders that are going there, probably they've never taken their horses there before, and those horses haven't run there, so you'd probably be looking for a French trainer that knows Chantilly almost as well as, you know, as Longchamp, and follow him.
Yeah, it does look potentially a tricky one for the punters. Thank you very much then to William Hill's Graham Sharp. First of all, thank you for that, Graham.
All the best and good luck to you, Darren.
Thank you, Graham.
And also a massive thank you to you as well, Darren Yates, joining us almost 20 years to the day since his massive win when Frankie Dettori rode all seven winners on the card at Ascot. Thank you very much for that, Darren.
No problem. Thank you. All the best.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.